Aren't you so thankful that He made a way? Made a way to the cross, and it had to be through the manger. Thank the Lord for that. Well, I hope you're having a Merry Christmas, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas today. It's a real blessing to be in the Lord's house on Christmas Day. It doesn't happen very often, and so it's a blessing that we can gather here to worship our Savior on a day that's been set aside to celebrate His incarnation, His coming in the flesh, His coming into this world as a gift to us from the Heavenly Father. This morning, if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. On this Christmas morning, we're going to be looking at this amazing prophecy in Isaiah. In this prophecy, we see the humanity of Christ in that first phrase, "For unto us a child is born." But we also see the divinity of Christ. "Unto us a son is given." And it's not just any son that was given, it was the Son of God. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. Think about that. That's the unspeakable gift that Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians. Jesus is that unspeakable gift. He is the Son that was given. And Isaiah tells us in chapter 7, verse 14, how that would take place. He would come through the means of a virgin. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You know, what's so amazing about this verse is that it tells us about the first coming of Christ as a baby. You know, I used to say a helpless babe, but I kind of changed my thoughts on that when I preached last week on the Mighty God, that title in this verse, that the Mighty God was there in that manger. He never ceased being God when He took upon Himself flesh. He was still God. He laid aside His glory. He laid aside His throne in heaven. But He was still the Mighty God. He was still sustaining all things. I mean, that's mind-boggling to think about. But nevertheless, we have in this prophecy the first coming of Christ as a baby that is born. But we also have in this prophecy the second coming of Christ as a conquering king. And the first part of this prophecy, as you know, it's been fulfilled 2,000 plus years ago when Jesus was born. Now, we celebrate Christmas December 25th, but no one really knows if that was the day of His birth. It really doesn't matter. It's a day that we used to celebrate that special time when the Son of God came into this world. And by coming, in this first coming, He fulfilled over 300 prophecies in His first coming. They were all fulfilled. I mean, that's amazing. A lot of them found here in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. And this is what's amazing. The second part of this verse, His second coming has not been fulfilled yet. But we have full confidence and full assurance as believers that it will be fulfilled, because the first coming was fulfilled down to the very details. There are five names or titles that Isaiah gives to Christ in this verse. And of course, when we started this series, the first of this month, I mentioned that in the Bible, there are over 200 names and titles found of Christ in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. So these are not the only ones. These are just five that Isaiah gives us. But if you think about it, there are not enough names to describe who He is. He is wonderful. There's no one like Him. I want to read verse 2, and then we're going to read verse 6 and 7, and we're going to pray. It says in verse 2, Isaiah 9, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now notice that last phrase, "the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." It will be done. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You are the faithful God. You're faithful to Your Word. You're faithful to the prophecies and promises that You've given us. And Father, we thank You for this wonderful prophecy of Your prophet Isaiah. This prophecy of Jesus, Your Son. Lord, I'm thankful that we've seen the first coming of this prophecy already fulfilled. We look back to that time today, to that glorious morning when Christ was born. And Lord, as we heard in the song, that cradle, that manger was just the beginning, because it led to the cross. It was there at the cross, oh Jesus, that You suffered for our sins. It was there at the cross that You purchased peace for us through Your precious blood. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank You for coming 2,000 years ago to lay Your life down for us. We thank You for being Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And as we're going to look at today, the Prince of Peace. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We're looking forward to Your second coming. We're looking forward to the fulfillment of the peace on earth that You're going to bring at Your second coming, when You reign on this earth and the saints reign with You forever. Lord, what a day that's going to be. Thank You for the promises that we have in Your Word today. I pray, Lord, that You would give me utterance today to be able to speak Your Word according to Your will. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this morning we're going to focus on the Prince of Peace, this title given to Christ, the Prince of Peace. And I want to say that this may be one of my favorites. I love all these names and titles, but this one speaks to the deepest needs of the human heart. Let me just ask you for just a moment. Do you have peace in your soul today? Is your soul at rest this morning? You know, that's a good question to ask, because even a lot of Christians are at unrest today. We know the world is at unrest. It seems that this peace on earth eludes us today. Remember in Luke's Gospel, I don't know if you read the Christmas story with your family this Christmas, but in Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, when the angel of the Lord announced to those shepherds in the field about the Savior's birth, they said this in verse 14, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And on earth peace. You know, at the coming of Jesus is the coming of peace. But why is it today that it seems that the world is longing for peace? We see so many nations today talking about peace treaties or signing peace treaties. Why is it that the statistics today show us that depression is one of the all-time highs in our day and time today? Why is it that when we read the news, the headlines are filled with hate crimes, terrorism, murders, domestic violence, drug and alcohol addiction, and the list could go on and on and on? You know, it seems that confusion and conflict and unrest is the norm of our life today. Let's look at this title, The Prince of Peace. And the world certainly needs Christ, because He is the Prince of Peace. This word Prince, the Hebrew word that Isaiah used, it speaks of a leader, a commander, captain, chief, prince, ruler. I want you to think of a general. Imagine a war, a conflict, a general, a commander. That's what Jesus is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's the Prince of Peace. And this word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. This is a word that's used even today by the Jews to greet one another. They would say shalom. It means peace. But it also means this. It means wholeness. Completeness. It speaks of prosperity. Peace and safety. You know, I love this Hebrew description of Jesus. Shalom. The Hebrew would say Shar Shalom, Prince of Peace. And it brings us this thought. You and I can never be whole and complete apart from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no way you can have peace in your soul apart from Jesus. I'm talking about a real lasting peace and rest in your soul in the midst of all the conflict and the chaos around us, in the midst of all the unrest. Without Jesus, you cannot have shalom. He is the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And I think it's fitting that this is the first reference to peace in Isaiah of 23 references. And we're going to look at some of those others as we go into the message. And so it starts with Jesus. Peace starts with Him. It begins with Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to ask this question this morning as we get into this message. What kind of peace does this Prince of Peace offer? What kind of peace does He offer you today? Well, the first one and the most important is this one. Peace with God. Jesus offers us peace with God. And that was the main reason for His first coming to the earth, was to purchase for us peace with God. You know, the Bible tells us that as sinners that we're enemies of God. You're an enemy of God. We're in enmity with God. We're separated from God. And Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father. In Isaiah 48, verse 22, the Bible teaches this. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, you may think, well, I'm not wicked, I'm a good person. maybe in your estimation, maybe in other people's estimation, but the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me. That includes you. We've all sinned. We've all gone astray. We've all, like sheep, gone astray from the Lord. And the Bible tells us that there is no peace. There is no peace unto the wicked. You know, a lot of people will take that verse and change the interpretation of it. How many of you heard there is no rest to the wicked? Maybe you've even said that. Well, peace does have the idea of rest. It does. Rest in your soul. The absence of conflict. But that's not really the idea. It's not talking about that we don't get no rest because we're wicked. Speaking of physical rest. No, it's talking here about this spiritual peace. And I want to just say this, that in the New Testament, when the word peace is used, it uses a Greek word that means the joining together again of that which had been separated or divided and setting at one again. That's what it means. We think of that when we think of peace, about harmony between two people, bringing two enemies together and making them one again. And that's what the New Testament explains or expounds on peace, is that it's the joining together again that which had been separated. And so I want you to think about this. We, as sinners, when we're born into this world, we're born in sin. We're born alienated from God. We're born separated from God. We have no fellowship with God because we're sinners. And Jesus Christ, He came to this world to reconcile us to God, so that we can have peace with God. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he says this in verse 5, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." The 53rd chapter is a prophecy about the Messiah's sacrificial death for us. You know, I love in verse 6 where it says, "And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Jesus bore our sins on the cross. It says the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The only way that we could have peace with God, to be reconciled to God, is for a sacrifice to be made for us. And Jesus came 2,000 years ago to make that sacrifice on the cross. That is the whole reason He was born. He was born to die. The Son of God came to die. He was made the Son of Man, that sons of men might become sons of God. I want you to look in the New Testament, if you would, in Romans chapter 5. And look at what Paul said in that first verse. In Romans chapter 5, in the first verse, he talks about this peace with God. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, you could say through the Prince of Peace, because that's another title of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. What does that mean? What does it mean to be justified by faith? Well, the word justified means to be declared righteous. It's a term that's used in the court of law when a judge would declare someone righteous or declare someone not guilty. I want you to think about that thought for just a minute. The Bible declares we're all guilty. We're all sinners. If you don't think you're guilty, just go through the Ten Commandments And look and see if you broke any of those commandments. Have you ever had any other gods before you? Have you ever lusted in your heart after someone? That's adultery. Have you ever stolen? Have you ever lied? And you know, the Bible tells us that one sin makes us a sinner and brings us under condemnation, under judgment. So we are guilty. If we look at the law of God, if we look at what the Bible says, we're all guilty. But Jesus came, the sinless Son of God. He had no sin. When He went to the cross, He took our sin. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And so Jesus took my sin. He took your sin. And He bore the Father's wrath against our sin. He bore the judgment of God against our sin. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, when we come to Jesus and we trust Jesus as our Savior, it says that we're justified. What does that mean? Declared righteous. The Father can look at us and declare us justified because Jesus paid our sin debt. He paid it in full. And so it says, therefore, being justified by faith, what is the result of that justification? We have peace with God. Peace with God. One of the Christmas songs that we sing, the Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I like the third verse. This is what it says. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings. Risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. The heaven-born Prince of Peace was born to give us second birth. He was born to give us peace with God. There's another song I like. It was written by Henry Longfellow in 1864. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And one of the verses says this. When men repent and turn from sin, the Prince of Peace then enters in. And grace imparts within their hearts His peace on earth, goodwill to men. I love that. When men repent and turn from sin, the Prince of Peace then enters in and grace imparts within their hearts. Has that taken place for you this morning? Do you know the peace with God? Do you have peace with God? Only Jesus can give you that peace. He made a peace agreement with the Father. He came into this world to die for the sins of the world. He traded His holiness for our sin. I like what Dr. Adrian Rogers said. He is now with the Lord, but I would say he would be a modern day prince of preachers, one of the great preachers of our day. He said, the Lord Jesus is called here the Prince of Peace. He is the secret of peace, of personal peace, domestic peace, international peace. And world peace waits upon His coming. But friend, you don't have to wait till Jesus to come for you to have peace. International peace is not coming until Jesus comes, but you can have peace personally today through our Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith and trust in Jesus, you can have peace with God. But there's a second kind of peace that Jesus offers, and that's the peace of God. He offers us the peace of God. So those of us that have been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. The effect of that is the peace of God. If you want to turn here in Isaiah 32:17, I want you to note here that the effect of this righteousness that we receive from Christ is peace. This is what Isaiah said, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, whiteness and assurance forever. The effect of righteousness, when you have peace with God, there's the peace of God that comes. Those of you that have been saved, you know, that moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, the peace of God came in your soul. It's then that you knew you had peace with God, because you had the peace of God. As a child of God, we go through storms in life. As one preacher said, you're either in one, you're coming out of one, or you're about to enter one. But only Jesus can deliver peace during the storms. I love the story in the Gospels where the disciples were in the storm. They were thinking that they were going to perish. They were troubled greatly, even though they were fishermen. They knew that they were about to die in that storm. But when Jesus came and He said, "Peace, be still." He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Governor of Peace. He's the Ruler of Peace. He was able to command the storm to be still. And there was calm. There was peace. And that it was then the disciples, "Who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Well, it's the Son of God. It's the Prince of Peace. You know, as we go through these storms, you have to have peace with God to have the peace of God. But there's another principle Isaiah gave us in chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is another one of those peace passages in Isaiah. He said this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." If I want to have the peace of God, number one, I have to have peace with God. Number two, I have to keep my mind stayed on God. That means I need to keep focus on the Lord. You know, sometimes we can get distracted by our circumstances, by the storm. We can, like Peter, he saw the waves and he began to fear and he began to sink in the sea. But as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water, was he not? Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep focused on Him in the storm. He's the Prince of Peace. If you keep your mind stayed on Him, it says He will keep you in perfect peace. It says because He trusteth in Thee. When you trust in Him, you keep your mind on Him, you trust in Him. I want you to look in Philippians 4. This is what Paul said about the peace of God in the New Testament. In Philippians chapter 4, I love these verses. Begins in verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't be full of care. Don't be anxious about anything. He says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Now notice the result of that in verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So you want the peace of God? Not only do you need to keep your eyes focused on Jesus, but when these burdens and these storms come, it tells us here we're not to be so full of care about these things. We should take them to Jesus in prayer. He's the Prince of Peace. We should pray and offer up supplication with thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known unto the Lord. And He says, "The peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep." That word "keep" means guard. It shall, like a sentinel, it shall guard your heart from anxiety. It shall guard your heart from unrest. It will guard your heart from fear and trouble. That's the peace of God. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and He came, the first coming, to give us peace with God and to give us the peace of God. And His peace is like no other. This is what Jesus said in John 14:27. He told His disciples this before He left to the cross. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be full of care. Because Jesus promised us here. He said, "My peace I give unto you." You know, in chapter 16, verse 33, He talks about, "In the world you shall have tribulation." He said, "But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." He's given us His peace. We can overcome this world through the Prince of Peace. But here's another peace that Jesus offers, and that's peace with one another. Peace with one another. You know, it's amazing how the Lord works when we have peace with God and when our hearts are full of the peace of God, that we are peaceable with others. You know, a lot of the conflict that comes in marriages is because there's no peace of God in the hearts. It's sad to see. You know, we witness it too often. See Christian marriages broken up by divorce, separation, because of conflict. When Jesus is the Prince of Peace, He can give peace in that home. He can give peace in those hearts. He can bring those two parties back together into one. That's what peace is. When there's a separation, when there's a division, peace means those two coming back and becoming one again. That's what the peace, Prince of Peace, can do. Proverbs 16:7 says this, "When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Isn't that amazing that when we have the peace with God, the peace of God, that we're pleasing God, that He makes our enemies even at peace with us. God can do that. If you want to turn to Romans 15, verses 17 through 19, Paul speaks about this peace with one another in the New Testament. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." Notice what he says. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." You know, he talks about the kingdom of God. If you're born again, you enter into the kingdom of God. And today, right now, the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom. Jesus is ruling this spiritual kingdom. He's on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And He's our King. And we are subjects, children of His kingdom. Remember last Wednesday night, Everlasting Father. Jesus is the Everlasting Father. He's the King. He treats us as children. So as children of His kingdom, I want you to think about this. This relationship we have with the King, who is the Prince of Peace. This kingdom is not about eating and drinking, he says. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you enter the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, we should be characterized by these things, by peace. And because of this, he says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify one another." That's what we should do. if Christ and His peace rule our hearts, we should be peaceable with one another. You know, it's sad that a lot of times at Christmas there's families that are torn apart. Isn't that sad? I mean, here's this holiday. We celebrate Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and there's families torn apart. They get mad or upset about this or that. We should be peaceable. We should follow after the things which make for peace. A 17th century Puritan, his name was Thomas Watson. He was a preacher. And I want you to listen to what he said about the Prince of Peace. He said, "He came into the world with a song of peace. On earth peace." Remember, it started out with the song, the angels singing. He said he went out of the world with a legacy of peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." He goes on, he says this, "Christ's earnest prayer was for peace. He prayed that His people might be one. Christ not only prayed for peace, He bled for peace, having made peace through the blood of His cross. He died not only to make peace between God and man, but between man and man. Christ suffered on the cross that He might cement Christians together with His blood. As He prayed for peace, so He paid for peace." Pretty eloquent preacher, isn't it? I wish those were my words. But that pretty much describes the ministry of Christ as the Prince of Peace. He came so that we might have peace with God, but also peace with man, with one another. We're going to look at a fourth peace that Christ offers. This is going to be the last one. And this is the one we're waiting for. And that's peace on earth. Peace on earth. This part of Isaiah 9 remains to be fulfilled. When you look at that prophecy, it tells us the government shall be upon His shoulder. Shall is future tense. Verse 7, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Listen, folks. There are Christians today that don't believe in a literal kingdom that's going to come on earth. Christ is going to reign on this earth. It's going to be a new earth. Listen, right now the kingdom of God, as I said, is a spiritual kingdom that we're in, but the literal kingdom is coming. Jesus is coming for us first in the air. We're going to be caught up with Him. We're going to go up to the Father's house for the wedding, for the judgment seat of Christ. But while that's taking place, there's judgments on this earth. The Antichrist is going to be reigning. But then at the end of that 7-year time, Christ is coming to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says He's coming on a white horse, and He's coming to exercise judgment. And He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that we're going to reign with Him. If you're saved, if you know Christ, you're going to reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. There's going to be peace on earth. You can go to Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 66, verse 12. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream." He's speaking of that future kingdom. No, one of those peace passages. He's going to extend peace to her like a river. There's going to be peace in glory. Peace on earth in glory. No more terrorism. No more murder. We won't need guns to protect ourselves anymore. There's going to be peace on earth. It's going to be finally realized one day. That's what we're looking towards, is the fulfillment of this promise. And to give us some confidence and faith, He tells us the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is full of zeal, and God is going to uphold His holy name. He's going to uphold His faithful character. He is faithful to His promises. He will not fail. He will not lie. It's coming. I like what Paul said in Romans 16, verse 20. He concluded his epistle to that church, the churches in Rome. This is, I love this verse. I mean, I have to share this verse. Romans 16, 20, it says this, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The God of peace. Who's the God of peace? Jesus. He's going to do what? He's going to bruise Satan. You know what bruise means? It means crush. Crush Satan. So how's He going to do it? He says, under your feet. Isn't that something? You know, when the rapture takes place, we're going to go up with the Lord. But when we come back 7 years later, we're going to be with Him. We're going to be part of His army. When the Antichrist is going to be crushed. When all the kingdoms of this world is going to be destroyed. Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 2, remember that stone that came out of the mountains of Jesus, it comes down and it crushes that image which speaks of all the world's kingdom. And it comes down and it's destroyed. And then the kingdom of Christ grows. Read Daniel 2, you'll see a picture of this future kingdom. The coming of Christ to bruise Satan. To destroy him. You know, it's at that point that... Actually, he's going to be bound up, but after 1,000 years, it says he'll be cast in the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but I get tired of Satan working in my life. I get tired of him tempting, oppressing. I get tired of his lies. I get tired of seeing how he's destroying other people's lives. But this gives me hope. It gives me a lot of hope to know that the God of peace, He's going to bruise Satan. He says, under your feet, shortly. Shortly. I hope it's sooner than later. Amen. I don't know who wrote this poem, but I don't even know if it could be a song. Maybe Curtis would tell me after church if it is. But it's, I want you to listen to this. And I'm not very good at orating poems, but I want you to listen closely because I'm going to close with this. I want you to focus on the Prince of Peace. It says, "The Prince of Peace came down to earth to bring peace and goodwill. The angels sang with joy and mirth on Bethlehem's silent hill. The Prince of Peace died on the cross to make peace through His blood. He died to save us from our loss and give us peace with God. Prince of Peace rose from the grave to preach peace to us all. For in that word is power to save, when on His name we call. The Prince of Peace now reigns above to give peace to each soul. And he who yields to Him in love is instantly made whole. O Prince of Peace, descend, we pray, and live in us and stay. Cast out our sin and have full sway until the eternal day." You know, as we celebrate Christmas today, His first coming, to be born in that manger. It's very important that we look forward to His second coming to bring peace on earth. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to meet Him? Because He's coming, ready or not. He's going to come back. It says as a thief in the night, no man knows the day or the hour. Wouldn't it be good if He came today? Are you ready? If Jesus came today on His birthday, would you be ready? Do you have peace with God? It's very, very important, because if you don't have peace with God, you're under condemnation. And it's going to be a sad day for you when Jesus comes. But you can change that today. You can come to Jesus today. You can have peace with God today through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. But I want to ask those who are saved here today, I want to ask you a question. Does the peace of God rule in your heart today? Or are there troubles in your heart ruling? Is there unrest in your heart today? Would you come to Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Would you cast your burdens on Him? As the Bible says, He'll sustain thee. As Paul said, when you let your request be made known to God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Would you come to Him today? Would you get your eyes off of your circumstances and your burdens and problems? Would you turn to Jesus and look to Jesus in faith and call out to Him in faith so you can have the peace of God ruling your heart? Maybe there's some family members, or maybe there's some friends that you need to be reconciled with today. You know, Christmas reminds us of our responsibility to be like Christ. He was the Prince of Peace. He was peaceable. We should go make peace with those that maybe that we, our relationship has been broken apart. You know, I will say that it's never easy to do that. But it requires you to humble yourself. And there's no promise that those people will forgive. There's no promise that they will be peaceable towards you. But if you do your part, you can have the peace of God. You know, I've had situations where I've gone to someone and they did not want to reconcile. They did not want to accept apology or give forgiveness. They didn't want to do that at all. But I did my part and I forgave them. And you know, I have the peace of God. I don't have any grudges today against anyone. I don't have any bitterness against anyone today, because of the Prince of Peace. I've put it all into the blood of Jesus. And you need to do the same. You know, as we wait for the coming of the Prince of Peace to bring peace on earth, let's be sure that the government of our life rests upon His shoulders. Let Him be to you all that His names proclaim here in this passage. For every name that He bears is a blessing that He shares. Let Him be wonderful to you this Christmas. Let Him be Counselor to you. Let Him be the Mighty God. Let Him be the Everlasting Father. Let Him be the Prince of Peace. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, as we come to You today, Lord, we worship and adore You today because You are Christ the King. You are the Son of God. You are our Savior, Redeemer. You're wonderful. Oh, there's no one like you, Jesus. You're Counselor, full of divine wisdom, that we can come to you today if we need wisdom in making decisions in our life. You're the mighty God. You're able to deliver. You're able to save all that come to God by you. Because you're the mighty God. You're able to save to the uttermost. Lord, there's no one here that's unsavable. Because you are the mighty God. With you all things are possible. Oh God, I pray for someone here today that does not know you as Savior. Does not have peace with God. That does not have the peace of God. I pray that they'd come to you, Lord Jesus, today. They'd know you as the mighty God. The everlasting Father. Oh Jesus, you are so special. And that you love us like a father. You care for us. You protect us. You provide for us like a father. And it's not just for a short time. It's forever, for eternity. You're our Father. You're going to care for us for all eternity. And we praise you for that, Lord Jesus. And today, as we've looked at this title, The Prince of Peace, we so grateful that you came to make peace by the blood of your cross. As we were enemies of God, we were alienated, we were under condemnation on our way to devil's hell. You came to die to make peace, to make it possible that we can be saved, to make it possible we can have peace with God. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for your people here today that have come to you and trusted you as Savior. They're justified and they have peace with God. I pray that the peace of God's not ruling in their hearts. I pray that they would come before you today to make whatever right that needs to be made right. There's sin in their hearts they need to confess. The relationships that are broken they need to restore. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give the grace to be able to forgive, give the grace to be peaceable to one another. But Lord, we're looking for your coming for us. Lord, it gets weary in this battle against Satan, against the world and the flesh. Oh, we're looking for your coming. Oh, Prince of Peace, come quickly. Lord, we love you today. I pray you have your way and your will. Prince, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.